not necessarily prepared for this, so we can go a couple of routes here. If there's anything that I said yesterday that I could expound on a little bit more for anyone that has a question on anything that I've said or that I could clarify something.
I'd like to hear more about that 13th Lord of the Pentecost.
13th Lord of the Okay.
That eternal that comes.
Okay, just so that you all know, a lot of the information that we receive as human beings can come from two sources. It can come from what we read, what we've been taught by other people, what we watch on TV, or it can come through revelations. I have a blend of both, where some things I'll stand up here and say it, I've never heard it before. So when it comes through, it's the first time I've heard it, and sometimes I have to stop and say, what? Do I really believe that? And then there has to be a settling in my heart. So I encourage you, in the same way, take what's said, especially about things that, I mean, there is no truth about Melchizedek. There's very little written. The only thing that we know is that Paul said, you really aren't prepared to hear about what I want to tell you about. Because strong meat is for those that are a full age, having their senses exercised to discern good from evil. What that tells me is that back then, there was not a exercising that had taken place. You know, when Jesus came and breathed on them, I believe that this was, again, another crop of Christ consciousness being incubated within the human being at that time. So it came in very small, like a mustard seed, it said. And for those that understand what a mustard seed is, if you cross-check a mustard seed and open it up, does anyone know what's inside of it? It's the shape of a cross. So inside of us, we are pre-programmed to come to a place of crucifixion within our own consciousness. So this life that was breathed inside of us at that time had to incubate and had to grow up over a period of a couple of millennia in order to become fully exercised in the knowledge of duality or good and evil. And there's a purpose for this. And again, this isn't just, a lot of this is intuitive information that has come, when I wake up in the morning, I'll have a different understanding of who and what we're here for. But in short, we're here to save the body. Saved does not mean that you go to heaven when you die. Is everyone with me on that?
Right.
That's not what it means. Years ago, I had a spiritual breakdown of sorts. Many of you have heard me talk about this. But it was 1999, and I was having I had cried out in a meeting about this size in my home. We had about 45 people in my home, crammed in there. And I just said to them, I don't know about you all, but I'm not satisfied with what I know. I'm not satisfied with my faith, with my belief system. I'm just not satisfied. I know there has got to be more. And I, with tears, was pounding my fist on my legs, and there's got to be more. And it was right after that I lost some of my terminology, just like if you remember back in the day, the computers, when your screen would go dark and you go right back to DOS. Remember, I'm talking some old language here. But something had taken away the word saved and all of my dogma and baggage that went with it. And a friend of mine who's still quite, I have one friend left. she's still quite involved in the system, but back then she was talking to me about one of our mutual friends that had gone to the hospital, and she said, you know, I really wonder if this thing. And it was like the computer screen had gone completely blank, and she could see me, you know, kind of moving around thinking. She said, what's wrong with you? I said, well, am I saved? She said, what? I said, am I saved? And she said, what are you talking about? And I went like this, and I said, I don't think I'm safe. I've got age spots. I've got wrinkles. And doesn't safe mean that you don't perish? She's like, no, it's when you accept Jesus into your heart and you're eternally secure. And I said, no, that's not it. And it was like this program was searching for my Windows program that had all my definitions up there, but I couldn't access it. I mean, I truly had a malfunction in my consciousness. I couldn't find it anymore. So from that point on, I thought, all right, what does it mean to be saved? And if you just look up the word, it means that you don't perish.
Yeah.
Are we perishing? So from that point, I thought, okay. So then I went back and going back to the Melchizedek priesthood, here's an immortal being that did not die. And I knew that somewhere in my being, I knew that that was our goal. That in order to experience this eternal life that we had so, that I had so mistakenly made so trite, so shallow, but it was just a shadow of where we're going. It's not that it was wrong. Our consciousness, that seed, was on its way to developing inside the garden, but it wasn't yet strong enough to bear weight, to bear information of the age to come. So, studying about Melchizedek, there's a book that I absolutely giggled all the way through. It's by Bob Frisell. And it's called You Are a Spiritual Being Having a Human Experience. And it's just a little book, and I was real drawn to it. I picked it up and read the whole thing in less than a day. And I giggled all the way through it. It talked about octaves, tones, vibration. And, you know, 10 years ago, I didn't know anything about it. And I still don't know much. But I didn't know anything about that. But what he was saying was that there are beings that have gone through, I talked about this yesterday, all 12 notes. If you have an octave, you're using one, I'm not. An octave is 13 tones, the notes that goes from a C to a C. And in between, you've got 8 white keys and 5 black keys. Well, this man was talking about how the Melchizedek order transitions in consciousness all the way through those keys. Remember that movie with Tom Hanks where he's on that big keyboard? What is that called?
Yeah.
So the Melchizedek order has transitioned through all of those octaves and all of those tones. And here in our, what Roke was through on the board the other day, with this particular bandwidth of, you know, our senses operate in here. Our eyes, our ability to smell, our vocal cords, our physicality, everything operates in that third dimensional level. With time, it's the merging of the third and the fourth dimensional level. And at times, there are beings that can come close to this boundary and they can see beings from other dimensions because they're just not that far. They're just separated by frequency. But the Melchizedek order has the ability to go all the way through. It has gone all the way through the dimensional level, gets to the 13th, and then can decide whether or not it wants to be itself, insert itself in time and space to help the next graduating class. You heard me talk about that briefly yesterday. So the next graduating class, depending upon how stuck they are in matter, will need a being to come in and to show the way. Show the way. Overcome your ego, or let your ego bow and submit willingly to that part of you that's greater than what you think. It's greater than your physicality. And so this Melchizedek order, this Jesus came and reinserted himself in time and space to lead for us a path. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
You heard me talk about the wineskin, and the reason why Jesus could not stay was because he had a higher vibration within his body. And he knew that staying with us would be to our detriment here. Because this greater value would rock our world without the value of having our experiences. Who was talking about the value of experience yesterday? Was it you or me? But there's a definite necessity for us to be totally immersed in third dimensional reality. And the symbol for this is in the practice of baptism. Remember me talking about this briefly yesterday? Water is symbolic of dense human consciousness. And for those of you that are familiar with Joseph Campbell, he was the leading authority on symbolism cross-cultural. And water represents egoic, carnal, dense human thought that covers the earth. So the symbol of baptism, here is this person that is standing upright and is lowered into the waters of baptism where he's completely immersed in human consciousness and then is raised up. So we have this beautiful symbol of baptism, not sprinkled, but completely immersed in human consciousness, forgetting who we were. For a divine reason and a purpose. Same thing with communion. This is what is very important. In the parable of the wheat and the tares, what happens at the end of the age? Can anybody tell me? Say loud. Separating the wheat from the tares, and the wheat is brought where? Into the barn, and at the very end of that parable, it says, at the end of the age, the wheat is gathered, it's separated from the earth, is it not? And it's brought into a place that is just called a barn. This is for our ego to understand the parable. We know what a barn is, that's where the grain goes. What happens then? It goes through the threshing process, and the grain is set aside. That is the end of the age. That's the end of the parable, it says the end of the age. Alright, well, common sense tells us, what do you do with grain? In the next dimensional level, what can we surmise happens? You make bread with grain. What did Jesus say he was? I am the bread that came down from...
He came from another
dimensional level. And so, when they were on the road to Emmaus, there were people that did not recognize him, correct?
Right.
Because he had ascended and come back down again. And when did they recognize him?
When he broke the bread.
So really, in symbolism, what he's saying and what he does for us every time we take communion is he's trying to get us to remember who we are. We're not human beings. We are spiritual beings that had a celestial body and a celestial existence that took on the swaddling clothing of biology. But we forget. When we enter humanity, when we enter our human form, we are no longer celestial in our nature, and we have to pass through the veil of forgetting. So when Jesus came and broke bread, that is such a mystery. He came and broke bread. And what he's doing is he said, do this in remembrance of me, the Christ. He was speaking not to your humanity, but to your divinity. And so every time we do the practice of communion where we break bread together, let us break bread. In the scripture, it says that the throat is an open grave, is Sheol. So as an immortal being, which that was your origin, as an immortal being, you were like the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world because that breath of your existence, of your immortality, was broken. You laid down your life in eternal dwellings, and you became mortal for a reason. So this broken bread goes down the throat, the grave, and goes into air. Into the back of humanity. This is really the third dimensional level, right in here, where the heavens meet the earth, that heart chakra, right here. So all of this for a reason. Why in the world the divinity lay down its immortal status and become wrapped in something that can die? Fully exercising the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
Now you can take this or embrace it or not, but I think that we've all gone around this mountain several times, just like Elijah.
But, you know, among those that are born with women has risen none greater than Elijah. And for those that can receive it, I'm sorry, John the Baptist, and for those who can receive it, he is Elijah. So we've done this journey many, 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 many times. Taking on human form, getting rid of the human form through death, accepting and saying, all right, what can I learn now? What can I do now? And it's from that position that we choose our life circumstances. Many of you know the story of when my son had an accident, a terrible motorcycle accident, had his arm and his leg taken off. And I'm in the emergency room, and I'm just wondering, you know, how is he going to be able to use a crutch when he doesn't have an arm? How can he walk with a prosthetic leg and learn without falling? I just was going all over the place with my emotions, and I heard a voice. And I'm going to repeat my story here. But I heard a voice, not audibly, that said to me, Barbara, remember, he chose this, and so did you. Barbara, remember. And you know, because from before the foundation of the world, we were hidden in Christ, you didn't have an ego. And you did not know how to discern good from evil. But what you did see was purpose and an explanation of the broader picture and the necessity to be fully immersed in humanity. Not partly, but fully immersed. And totally baptized. And so you're standing there in this position when you are hidden in this Christed form. And you're saying, what is going to bring humanity to that tipping point where it becomes fully exercised in the knowledge of good and evil? What does humanity need to experience, and what can I do to do my part? And you've heard me say this, there is no human suffering without value. None. None. Everything that you have done goes into those buckets that bring us to the place where the age is full. We've all done our part, and we've all bore our burdens, but it hasn't been for nothing. It's been beautiful and perfect. Now, I talked about this a little bit last night with Lynn, because I'm not sure that I formulate my words well enough for this, but you have to wonder, why? Why would we need to experience these things? Why do we need to raise the body now and go on to the next level? And why is it necessary once I raise my body? What was all of that for? What was that rape for? What was losing a child for? What was that divorce? Why was I beaten? Why was I robbed? Why was I betrayed? But not only that, why did I get to experience the birth of my three children? And how can I have such a beautiful home and I can, you know, develop flowers and artwork and, you know, we experience the full range of the knowledge of good and evil. Hope. Why? Why? Is it just for God in us to expand His knowledge base? And I know that's what He does, in and through the human being. He's expanding through you. But why? And the only thing that I have intuited, that I feel, is that right now, we are unconsciously creators of reality. The scripture is full of it. Talks about how, you know, we need to focus our thoughts and what have you. But I understand that unconsciously, we have been creating everything that we focus on. If we focus on something and we judge it as good or evil, because the I am dwells within this house, and if the mind focuses on something and says that's evil, it is. Not only is it is, but we create more of what we're focusing on. That's why Jesus said, and the scriptures say, you know, take every thought captive, think on things that are pure and lovely and of good report. Because when this mechanism, which is I am, focuses on something and the crazy thing, it is. So the only thing that I can figure is this expansive knowledge that we have been immersed in becoming human, there's a reason for every single experience and every single emotion that we have felt come out of our bodies. And that is that our emotion, mingled with thought, creates reality. If we are going to the next dimensional level, what are we going to be doing? And if everything that's happened to us has an emotional value, even the fear has an emotional value that can create matter, then all of our emotions have served us well. Except at this dimensional level, we're fooled because our mind associates culturally what is good and what is evil. So what happens to us is we're pulled into our culturalisms and we continue to propagate reality because we're, oh, that's evil, or oh, that's... But when you come to the place where you're entering into the age to come, your judgment must be suspended. So you're cut off from thinking good, evil, right, wrong, you know, awesome, horrible. You only have the emotional value left in your memory. And so when you go to create to the next dimensional level, what do you think our lower emotional values correlate to? Let's say fear, anger, jealousy, rage, those things that have felt, you know, and we feel it coming out of our bodies, don't we? In the middle of the night when you hear a bump, what happens? When you wake up, do you feel something in your body? And what is that feeling? And something comes out of our bodies, does it not? We need to become conscious of what our emotions do to our body. Mm-hmm. And realize that that blood, that you know, what happens to us and that surge that's coming out of us is literally a beacon that is saying, give me more of what I am projecting. That's what it's doing. Because the law of attraction works that if you project fear, guess what? The universe, you project a vibration out of your body. Your body's going fear, 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 fear. And the universe says, over here, fear, fear, fear. And you create the circumstances of your life experiences. We are creators. So in the age to come, when you dismiss your judgment, and you can have these feelings without being pulled. One of the things that I wanted to say that's so important is the spirit needs a mechanism by which to focus energy out of a physical body. And that's the helpmate of the ego. The spirit needs a mechanism that can focus thought and the appropriate emotional value. So in the age to come, when it goes to create a mountain range, do you think it's going to call on those things that are pure and lovely and of a good report? Or do you think it's going to take that lower, dense energy to bring mountains into place? I'm telling you, we will be creating reality. Except the place that we are going will be worlds without ends. This is a school where we can get our egos in check. Where we can literally say, I get it. I am awake. I am a conscious co-creator of reality. I must suspend my judgment lest I be judged and continue to propagate this dimensional reality. The only one that can save us is us. That is the only way out of this dimensional level. It's through Christ in you.
Yes.
It is not a savior that is coming down out there. But Jesus said, if they say it's over there, I'm not. It's in you. You are the only being that can build the bridge from one age to the next. That's why we're experiencing this awakening. And we need to understand the importance of suspending judgment.
I'm going to read something and then I'm going to end.
In the back of your book, you've got a teaching called Welcome to the Gap. Because God looks for a man to stand in the gap so that the world wouldn't perish. Did he not? And in this last teaching, it talks about who you are,
who the Christ is, Christ in you. How do we get there? Why is it happening now? And you can go through these notes by yourself and you'll get what I'm saying just through the notes.
But there's a book called The Ancient Secret of the Flower of Life, written by Drumbel and Melchizedek. For those that are brave enough, pick it up. Volume 1 and 2, you'll be blessed by it. He says, the possibility of ending duality is impossible as long as we remain in the consciousness of good and evil, eating from the tree. We have to transcend it and enter into a different consciousness once again. But we cannot do that if we continue to judge. As long as we continue to judge the events in our lives, we give power to them as either good or bad, which determines the course of our lives. To end it and then transcend it, we must step outside of this polarity. We must change, and this change has to come in some way from our not judging this world. Remember when Jesus said, I've judged the world? It's done. For it is in judging that we decide that something is good or bad, that is the basis of good and evil, or duality consciousness. He also said, be of good cheer, for I have... And if he is us, then what have we done? He sees the end from the beginning, but we're the ones that have to walk it out. We're the mechanism that Spirit has chosen. And the Spirit is dwelling inside of us, coming into union with us as our ego says, I get it. I can't continue to judge and create this reality. So Spirit is calling upon a generation that will bridge the gap between this age and the next.
Yes.
And that, you know, that being, that one foot is on the water and one foot is on the land in the book of Revelation, and that will become a vibrational bridge from one age to the next. And the vibrational bridge is in consciousness. And if you will do this, if you will enter into this place where you suspend your judgment and you cease to judge the plane of this earth, you will create a link from this age to the next. And other people, not because you have wise or persuasive words, but because other people will walk up against my clay and they'll get it just because they're standing in his energy. Because it's a higher vibration. Okay? And what comes out of your body is a higher vibration. And things cannot help but ascend. And I'm talking about negative energies even. You know, you talk about when Jesus says, if I by the finger of God cast out demons, and certainly know the kingdom is within your grasp. What is happening now, and I'm going to come full circle with this, in the book of Hebrews, it talks about how Abraham met Melchizedek. And in the scripture, it alludes to how men that are priests of a mortal order receive tithes. You know, we support our ministers. We, those that stand in the place of the priesthood, receive gifts and offerings. But the book of Hebrews mentions that, but there, Melchizedek received something different. You know what it was? Melchizedek received a tenth of Abraham's sperm. And it is a reserved seed for this season. The tithe is being expressed on planet Earth today. These beings that have a higher vibrational order are occupying biology, forgetting their nature of who they are, but they're here to help our consciousness ascend. They are the artists, they are the musicians, they are the lovely people that couldn't hurt a fly. They don't know who they are, but they're here to help raise the frequency of the planet just by being here. The scripture says, always be kind to those messengers you meet along the way, because many have entertained unaware. Are they unaware of who they are? Or are we unaware of who they are and I stay exposed?
Yeah.
Saved means becoming immortal. It's not going to heaven when you die.
It's ransoming the body and bringing it from mortal to immortal in the twinkling of an eye, like Lynn talked about. The age is upon us. It's here. And we have 7.5 billion people have incarnated to experience the ascension of an entire planet. This isn't the first time this happened. Civilizations from long ago have left footprints like Stonehenge, like the pyramids. Tens of thousands of years ago, they left footprints for us, because when the Earth goes through a pole shift, when the Earth goes through ascension, basically the very fabric of our existence begins to become unraveled. The fabric of our existence is like a loom that is weaving a great tapestry. And we've got some dark threads that we weave in there, and we've got some light threads that we weave in there. And if we judge something evil, that's another dark thread. If we judge something good, that's another light thread. And we have this whole tapestry of existence. Well, what happens when 10% of the population fail to put their threads on the loom? It compromises the fabric of reality. And it begins to fall apart. Okay? It's not a bad thing. The Earth is giving birth to a new age. A golden age. A new order. Because this crop is getting ready to graduate. And it's glorious.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, my. So that sounds like a good high note. I'm going to end on that. Food for thought. You judge it within your own heart, yourself. Hang on to what's good. Put the rest on a shelf. And who knows where we'll be in another 5 years.
Your comments about not judging remind me of one of my favorite sayings. It goes like this. It's an invitation. It says, somewhere out there, beyond the knowledge of good and evil, lies a field. I'll wait for you there.
That's excellent. That's excellent.
I just want to say, and it's for all, really all,
we are all in all.
Thank God for Barbara. I think we just met an angel right away.
Yeah.
Angel unaware, you might want to talk to my husband. Probably.
What's something you said that I thought was really good? How many?